We're going to go to Colossians in just a moment, but start in Luke chapter number 4. You may not be dealing with issues this morning. You may be just where you need to be. And your life may be blessed, and you may be having a situation where there is no problems in your life. But may I tell you, you probably know someone or have someone in your family who's dealing with those things. Give them this hope of your word, of His word this morning. Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 16. This is my favorite passage. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16. And he came, speaking of Jesus, he came to Nazareth, where he was from. That's his hometown. Where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Esaias is Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. See, Jesus always went to God's word. He wasn't going to give up and give a soliloquy upon what he thought was right according to man's interpretation. He opened up God's word. And may I tell you this morning, my words of comfort and peace are not going to help you. I'm going to point you to the word of God. That's where the comfort and peace comes from. So you can reject me all you want to, but you can't reject the word of God. Verse number 18, here's what he spoke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus claimed, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Verse number 18 has a wide description of many people. How many of you would be honest this morning and say, I'm one of those people in verse 18? Only a few of us. Well, the rest of y'all can go home then. I'm one of those people in verse 18. I've been there. And unfortunately, I'm going to be there again. Because on this earth, you're going to have woe. On this earth, you're going to have problems. On this earth, you're going to have disappointments. On this earth, you're going to have to say goodbye. Temporarily. Or sometimes goodbye permanently. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have doubts. You're going to have depressions. You're going to have all of these things that life brings. But those things that life brings don't have to keep you down. They don't have to keep you depressed. They don't have to keep you away. These things are conquered through Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Can I get somebody to grunt with a holiness or something this morning? Are y'all of y'all depressed? Flu shots are being advised nowadays. They tell you, go and get a shot. We'll even pay you to get a shot. Keep the flu away. Why? Because they want you not to catch the flu. Well, I'm not going to do that because I want to catch the flu. I'm not going to do that because it's not effective. I'm not going to do it because it means nothing to me. Well, brothers and sisters, I've got a solution to something that's even better. The Spirit of God through His holy word will solve whatever the problem is. And all God's people said, and those up on the shelf. Jesus came to heal, to restore, to free, to save. That's why Jesus came. So I want to give you some things this morning to help you, according to what God's word clearly teaches. And like I said, it may not be for you today. You might apply it later on, but it might be someone that you love needs to hear these things. And I want you to write these things down so that you can minister to somebody else. Because believe it or not, it's not all about you. It's not about me. God has left us here to minister to other people also. Colossians chapter number 1, if you wouldn't mind. Or chapter number 3, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter number 3. I've changed the title of the message, and it doesn't matter. The title of the message really has no bearing on anything. Helping somebody in limbo. Helping somebody in limbo this morning. Helping somebody in limbo. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've already done through music. Thank you for what you've already done through the reading of your word and the prayers. I'm asking you now, God, that you'd fill my mind with exactly what I need to say, that my mouth would be completely controlled by you. But more importantly, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would go through each and every one of our hearts and do the dealing and the fixing and the convicting and the drawing close to you that needs to be done. Lord, I don't want people to hear me. I want people to hear you. I just want to minister. I just want to help. I just want to love. And may I do that this morning through your power and your strength. In Christ's name I ask this. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3. Having a conversation with somebody in limbo. Dealing with somebody in limbo. Number 1. How do you do that? What would you tell somebody in limbo? Verse number 1 it says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that has created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. He gives a very valid and a very vivid description of what our lives were like before Jesus Christ. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he describes what you used to do in verses 5 and verses 6. He says, that's what you used to be. That's how you used to live. That's no longer who you are now. If you are in Christ, like we talked about last week, then you are a brand new person. You no longer have to live that way. So my question for you and my question for me would be this: why do we insist on going back in that direction? Why do I insist on allowing myself to get involved in the things I used to do? They didn't bring me happiness before, so why in the world go back to them? Why in the world, when things get tough and things get hard, do we go back to what was destroying us? Why? I think the answer is this: because we lose hope. We get to the point maybe where we think, well, God can never forgive me. God can't welcome me home again. I've been filthy and I've been nasty and I've been doing all these things. There's no way that I can come back. Brothers and sisters, as long as you're alive, there's always hope. There's always hope. And Paul is writing to these folks in Colossians and he says this: listen, stop concentrating and thinking on the things that used to be. That's no longer who you are. So what do you tell somebody who's in that kind of limbo? Number one, here's what you tell them. And here's what I want to tell you. Understand where you are. Understand where you are. Look what it says in verse number 1. He says this, if ye are risen with Christ, you are alive. You're no longer dead. You are alive. That's where you are. Before you got saved, you were deader than a doornail. You were on your way to hell. You were headed to an eternity without Jesus Christ. That's where you were. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? You have eternal life. You have more power and more strength than anybody else that has not Jesus Christ. That's where you are. Ah, ho-hum. You got to get done, Brother Brian. I got lunch waiting for me. Brothers and sisters, wake up! You have life in Christ. Nothing can replace that. Go to Romans chapter 6 with me real quick. Hold your finger here. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse number 5. I took the battery out of the clock, so I have no idea what time it is. I'm just teasing. Some of you saying, well, here's my watch. I'll let you know. Romans chapter 6, verse number 5. Here's what Paul writes to the Romans. He says, for if we, there's the if again. If you've been planted, if you've been saved, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, if you've been saved, we shall. I love that word shall. That means it's going to happen. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say might. It says we shall. It's going to take place. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you've been saved, guess what? You're going to live. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, though you die physically, you're going to live eternally forever and ever and ever. We win. Wow. I had to go to Kingsport, Tennessee and do a funeral Wednesday. And when I said that kind of thing at a funeral, I understand why people are, because it's somber. Brothers and sisters, it's a Sunday morning. Wake up. We live. Wow. You have eternal life. Christian, this is the only hell that you'll ever experience, is your time on earth. This is the only hell. It gets better from here. But listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ your Savior, this is the only heaven you'll ever experience. Well, if that's heaven, I don't want it. I don't want it either. I want that heaven. So understand where you are. Understand whose you are. Go back now to Colossians chapter 3. Look quick. It says, if you're risen with Christ, how do you do it? How do you live in it? Seek those things which are above. Stop thinking of the nasty, filthy life. Stop thinking of defeated issues. Stop thinking of ways that you have failed. Now, let me ask you an honest question this morning. How many of you have ever failed in your past? Some of you haven't. Well, tell me how you live life without failing, please. And you can get up here and preach. We've all failed. And we have an enemy who reminds us daily, weekly, sometimes hourly of how much we failed. You can't get up there and preach. You're a wicked, nasty failure. You've done this and you've said this and you've experienced this. Yes, I have, Satan. Yes, I have. But guess what? Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all my sins. How do you live an understanding? You live it. You live it. Stop living in the past. Live in what Christ has done for you now. But look at the second part. It says, seek those things which are above. And what's above? where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. That's where you've got heading. That's where you're going. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. You've won the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Brian, I'm depressed. I've got all these issues of life. My wife doesn't like me anymore. My dog, I have to put a pork chop around my neck to get my dog to play with me. My boss hates me. My neighbors think I'm crazy. My children, man, they've given up on me. What do I do? Look to Jesus. Well, that's not sufficient because he won't talk to me. I cry out to him all the time and he never answers my prayer. So what good is it? When Peter got out of the boat and he began to sink, what did he do? Did he look for his floaties? Did he call out to the guys on the boat? He said, "Save me." Brother Brian, what do I do? Save me. And God will begin to work in your life and he'll show you the right way. But the problem is, we pray, we say, "Oh God, save me, but do it my way. Oh God, get me out of this situation. Oh God, help me. But I want to do it my way. I want to do it in my method. I want to just a little bit of a shot. Just give me some penicillin. That's all I'm looking for, so that I can go back to doing what I was doing before. That's all I need. I need just a little hit. Just a little bit, Jesus, is all I need to get me through. Just give me a little pill. That's all I'm asking for, God. Just give me a little pill. Make me feel better so that I can keep going on." Jesus Christ is not found in a prescription bottle. He's not found in a glass bottle. He's not found in a rolled up weed. He's not found in a relationship. Those are temporary fixes that do not last. I've cried out to Jesus and I've begged him, but he's not done nothing. Oh, yes, he has. He's given you the pathway to know how to live for him. But you're so stinking ignorant and stubborn and rebellious that you won't follow it. Psalm 119, the entire psalm is about the Word of God. And it says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall a young person cleanse their way? How shall an old person cleanse their way? By trying everything in the book." No. By getting right with God and doing it His way. There's nothing more frustrating as a parent than trying to instruct my children on how to do something. I love my little JT to death. He's the spark plug. Them little doe eyes just melt your heart. Now, Mr. Mac, I love you, brother. But math is driving us bonkers. He comes home, and we work on the math, and we say, "This is how you do." We get Grace involved. We get John involved. "No, that's not how Mr. Mac told us to do it." JT, this is, but I'm sure you told him the right way, but in his little mind, it's not that way. This is how, no, JT, this is how you do it. Here's the answer. "That's not how I was shown to do it. That's not going to do it." Okay, do it yourself. Please check his math, Ryan. Please check his math. But you know what? We get just like JT. God says, "Here it is. Here it is." Nah. That's old. That was written by human beings. That's not applicable to me. Can I get an amen in our own me? Know where you are. You're in heaven already. That's where Christ is. Understand that. Number two. Center your thought life on God. Center your thought life on God. Look at verse number two again. It says this. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Center your thought life on God. I'm not going to make myself popular, and that's okay. But here's the truth. Garbage in, garbage out. What you watch on television, what you listen to on the radio by CD, MP3 player, podcast, whatever you choose to listen to, whatever comes into your mind comes out in your life. Oh, there you go, being Mr. Legalism. Brothers and sisters, what you think of is who you are. Check your heart. You can't tell me what to think. You can't tell me what to see. You can't tell me where to go. And I'm not about to. I'm not your God. But my Bible says, set your things. That means your affection. It means center your mind on the things of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 says the same exact thing. I want you to write that down. Whatsoever things are pure, just. And it gives you a whole list of things to think of. So, Brother Brian, are you saying I need to sit in my living room every day? Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, my children are beating each other up in the corner. Oh, you're so lovely. And all the filth that you see going on in our government and our politics and our neighborhoods. Oh, that's so wonderful. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what you allow yourself to think on is what you become. Well, I think I'm awful hungry for you to get done now. Well, we still got another hour. Amen. Center your thought life in God. So, let me help you out with something. Brother Brian, I'm depressed. I'm upset. I'm scared. Then what do I think on? You think on what God's Word teaches. Remember I read Psalm 40 to you this morning. That's what you think on. That's the solution. It can't be that simple. Yes, it can. God's Word is simple. It's true. Because it's God's Word. Amen? If you say amen, I'll go a lot quicker. Number three. Realize who is securing you. Realize who is securing you. It says in verse number three, for you are dead or hidden, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Who is your security? Who's the one that's protecting you? The book of Psalms is full of those things, that God is my fortress, and Him will I hide. God is my protector. God is my director. God is my hidden one. Hold your finger right here and go to 2 Timothy real quick. Go right in your book called the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let me show you a verse here. It's right after 1 Timothy. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Or I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Chapter number 1. verse number 6. Wherefore, Timothy writes, he says, or Paul writes, he says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. I want you to remember what you've heard before, that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's what God has given to us. He is your protector. He is your guide. He is the one. Chapter number 2, verse number 1 says this, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He is our protector. He is the one, not mankind. Because guess what? Believe it or not, I'm going to fail you. Not you, Brother Brian. You walk on water. Well, thank you. No, I don't. I'm made out of the same mud you are. Human beings will fail you. Your spouse will fail you. Your children, your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, they will fail you. Stop looking to them for all the solutions in life. When my children leave my home to go to school each day, drop them off at school, guess what? They're no longer under my physical protection. I can't be there, but I know someone who is. He is my hiding place. He said, Brother Brian, I feel like I'm naked. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like nobody cares. Cry out to Jesus. He's your hiding place. Number 4. Go back to Colossians chapter 3 real quick. Number 4. Trust the future to your Father. Trust the future to your Father. And I'm not talking about your physical father. Because look what it says in verse number 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, by the way, when He shall appear, because He's going to return, then, when He appears, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You see that right there? He says, if you belong to Jesus Christ and He comes back, who's coming with Him? You are! That's your future. Where is Jesus? Okay, church, help me out. It's okay. We're in church. You can help me out with this. Where is Jesus right now? I don't know. He's in heaven. I just showed it to you. He's at the right hand of God. Okay? So, if you belong to Him, and it says that He's going to appear, now look what it says, when He shall appear, then shall, it's going to happen, you also appear with Him in glory. You're coming back with Him. Your future is reserved. It is guaranteed. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? This is not your home. Heaven is your home. No matter how bad it gets here, this is not your permanent dwelling place. You got heaven waiting for you. I don't know if I'm convinced of that. Well, some of you look pretty skeptical. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Let me show you what it says. Revelation chapter number 19. This is a coming event. This is going to take place. It has not happened yet, but it will happen. Look at Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 11. John writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is what he saw. He says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Church, Who is he describing right there in verse number 11? Jesus Christ. He says, I saw Jesus on a white horse. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Did you catch that right there? The armies. And the armies which were where? In heaven. This event has not happened yet, but it's going to happen. And when Jesus Christ returns physically to the earth, he's going to be on a white horse, and the armies are coming with him. And the army is made up people who are in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Is heaven where you're going? And so if heaven's where you're going, guess what? You're part of this army when Jesus Christ comes back. Well, I ain't joining no army. Guess what? I told my mom and dad, I'm sick of your rules. I'm sick of being told what I'm supposed to do. So I'm joining the military. That first morning I woke up at basic training, I thought, oh God, what did I do? Brothers and sisters, this army is the most blessed army in the whole wide world. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a heavenly home waiting for you. No matter how bad it gets down here, you've got heaven waiting for you. So we all know someone right now who's dealing with issues of life. We've all been at the bedside, most of us have been at the bedside of a loved one who is just racked with pain and physically unable to do anything else. Though our hearts miss them, it's better off where they are right now than where they were. Wednesday night when I buried my good friend J.D. Bacon, some of you have met him, he's been here a few times. And I know that he was in a great amount of pain, and I know that he had heart problems and everything else. There's no way in the world that I would have tried to bring him back Wednesday night, because he was seeing glory with his eyes. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How about you? How do I deal with it, Brother Brian? Number one, understand where you are. Number two, center your thought life on God. Number three, realize who is securing you. And then number four, trust the future to your Father. I've given you what God's Word says. That's all I can give you. Now it's up to you what you do with it. You see, Brother Brian, I'm not hurting right now. Everything is fine and dandy with me. May I be a ray of sunshine to you? You're going to need this one day. Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. It's the truth. On this earth, you'll have tribulations and troubles. But what did Jesus promise? I have overcome. You have a friend or loved one who's dealing with issues. How many of you have a friend or loved one who's dealing with issues right now in life? Give them God's Word. I don't know how to answer them, Brother Brian. I don't know what to do. Give them God's Word. That's what we have. Amen. All right, right before we have the invitation, look at my face just for a moment, please. Everybody look at me. in the most sincere way that I can say this, I love you. I can't know your pain, but I love you and I hurt with you. But may I tell you something even more serious than that? God loves you. He's not angry at you. He doesn't hate you. He simply says, my child, cry out to me. Trust in me. Do it my way. I can't solve your problems. He can. Close your eyes just for a second. Let me read something to you. Just close your eyes. I'm going to return back to this passage real quick. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, in all honesty this morning, how many of you does that describe? Raise your hand this morning. How many of you does that describe? Cry out to Jesus. He's the answer this morning. Miss Shirley, if you'll come, you just go ahead and play. Brother Danny, I'm just going to let her play this morning. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. Please. If you've got to go to work, that's fine. Go. If you don't have to, I'm just going to ask you to just meditate where you are at the moment. I want to pray for you. And then I want to open up the altar where you're sitting or down here. But cry out to Jesus today. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts and our needs. God, we're failures without you. God, I'm asking you right now that your word would so infiltrate our souls that we would just simply do what you've told us to do. I know it's hard, God. I know it's scary. But God, we're weary. Some are brokenhearted. Some are captive to their sin. Some are blind to their sin. Some are bewildered and depressed. But God, you hold the key to our solution. And I'm asking you, God, to do what needs to be done this morning. Convict the hearts. May people get right with you today. Comfort those who are desperate. Save our souls that need it. But oh God, may we just simply obey you. In Christ's precious name I pray. Please keep your head bowed, your eyes closed. You want to come forward, I'll pray with you if you want me to. If you want to make an altar where you are, that's fine. But cry out to Jesus this morning. Cry out to Jesus as Miss Shirley begins to play. Won't you come?